Good afternoon, everyone. I'm here. My name is Łukasz, and I'm here today with Tomasz. We both work in Microsoft in the Microsoft NAV web client, the client team. And we have a pleasure today to present you the new web client for NAV 2013 R2. So, shortly about the agenda of this presentation. I will start with showing you what's new in the web client for Microsoft Dynamics NAV 2013 R2. We'll go through the new features. I will try to show as many demos as possible. And then Thomas will take over and show you the new client accessibility framework you can use to extend the web client with your implementation. So before we even jump to the what's new in the web client, just a short recap what the web client for NAV release. So the web client is the HTML with JavaScript implementation of the client for NAV. What's more important is that it uses exactly the same programming paradigm as for the Windows client. So it works based on your pages, on your reports, the code you need, the AL code you have developed for the Windows client. So the main changes we've done for the web client is the all updated UI with the modern UI. So what modern UI in Microsoft means is that it's the fluid, fast and fluid design, giving the users very good experience of responsive system. It's also design which is which lacks all the decoration of the elements. It's a flat design where we explicitly focus on the content. So what we've done in the web client, we try to inspire ourselves on the Office 365 and especially SharePoint solution. So I think let's just jump to the web client and let me show you how does it look now. So that's one of the role center we have, small business role center. What I would like you to focus on for now is a change in the navigation. You can notice we have now all the main navigation nodes in the top bar. There's also user information displayed in the top right corner with all the commands for sign in, sign out. And all the sub-nodes navigation is displayed on the left. If you just compare it to how the new SharePoint looks like, it's very, very similar. So let me just log into my SkyDrive Pro, for example. My Microsoft credentials. Microsoft.com. Oh yeah. Shouldn't be that difficult. Okay, that would be my SkyDrive. So you see, it's the same, basically same concept. All the navigation on the top, on the left one, the sub-node navigation, actually in this case is documents, the ribbon with the updated icons, with the new modern UI look and feel. The next thing you probably notice, the changes we've done is the charting. Now we support charts inside of the web clients, and that's one of the biggest changes comparing to the previous version. For charting, we decided to use the HiCharts utility library, which is totally based on the client-side rendering with JavaScript, HTML, giving the user a really great experience. So just to show you some examples, for example, in that case, you can go and hide some of the totals on that chart, showing all this great animation. You can also drill down to the information just hovering on the columns with all the details for the particular totals on that chart. And what's even more important, and maybe just jump to my presentation about charting, is that if you develop the charting for the Windows client using the business charts, they will work out of the box without any changes, because we utilize the same model based on the plugin and add-ons development. And then we'll come back to especially the add-ons, which Thomas will cover, so we can exactly see how they go all work together and how the communication works between the add-on and the NAV server. Next thing we have improved is how the actions are being rendered. On the role center, we have now the live action tiles. What they are coming from, they are just the activity actions where previously were just displayed as links. Now we have them as the live tile where the text is actually the tooltip of the element, the background is set of the image. So just as an example, I can now go to this activities page, which just activities. Typing is difficult. And go to the controls of the queue group. Yeah, those are the three actions corresponding to the tiles. So let's say I can go and change the image, which is responsible for displaying the background. We have added a lot of new images as well you can choose from. Say, let's choose the currency one, let's change the text, the tooltip one, which is displayed in the live tile. Let's compile. All you need to do is just press F5 in the web client, and that's what changes, right, on the live tile. Next thing is the static, the activities ones, which are the stack controls we had in NAV as well earlier on the web client. And then we have redesigned also all the actions for the particular parts. So previously in the web client, all the actions were actually located on the ribbon, which was a little bit painful for the user because of two reasons. First of all, there's actually a lot of different actions, and secondly, because the user has a little bit hard time to relate which actions belongs to which part. So for example, we had actions which belongs to the charts, and then it was kind of difficult to figure out where those actions are. Now we moved the actions very close to the parts, actually. So in order to show the action, you just press the link over those three dots. It just shows all the context menu, all the actions related only to the charts. The same for the other parts. So I have some favorites, customer here, I have a trial balance here. So opening that one, for example, will open my selected favorite customer. Okay. And last but not least, we've changed how the actions are displayed for the particle lines in the grid. And now you just click that the three dots inside of the grid, where you, for example, this one has the view, edit, and delete. Previously, I guess those actions was also part of the ribbon, and this is very similar to the experience you actually get in the SharePoint. And actually, why I'm talking about SharePoint so much is also because we've added a whole new integration to the SharePoint one, and there's a session tomorrow about this, which I highly recommend if you develop any solution for SharePoint to attend. Okay, this is small view about the actions. Oh, there's one more. We've added a new button which is a little bit adding a new entities for the list. So similar as SharePoint, we have now new button both in the ribbon, but we have also moved it to the separate image here over. So if you just press new, it's the same one as you press in the ribbon, just launching a new sales squad in this example. Okay, that's more or less everything about the changes in the actions. Now, one more thing probably you already noticed when I was opening the list is much improved experience for sorting and filtering. If you want to sort inside a list, what you just need to do, you just maybe go to customer, you press the title of the column, and that will sort on number. You press it twice, it will sort descending. The same, you can press any other column. If you press somewhere not exactly on the title, then there is a context menu for the header columns where you can choose the same actions as well, ascending and descending. Now the same functionality is available for filtering. So if you remember on the previous version of the web client, we had a special control to handle filtering, and it was the quick filter just displayed somewhere here in the top of the list. And it was a little bit cumbersome for the user, firstly, because our separate control was also cumbersome because they had to explicitly choose the column they need to sort on, which was a little bit somehow difficult to discover. So now what you just need to do is to press the column, say filter, then just write a name of the customer, let's say the Conduxy one I had before. And that's what you get, right? You get the result. You have the filter icon on top, which tells you that this particular column is filtered. What you can do more is you can filter on multi-column columns. So I have filter on the name now, and nothing stop me with going to the contacts and filter on the contact as well. So let me just find all guys here, all misters. And that's how it is, right? And you can combine it, you can add filtering on top of your filtering result. In order to remove the filter, just press the clear filter method. We have also improved a little bit the programmatic model of AL. If you want to enable sorting from AL programmatically, there is an AL function called setCurrentKey. And you can use it to enable sorting. So let me just show you, for example, on this page, which is the customer list. So just open the customer list and go to the AL code. And so what I would like to do is that every time the customer opens the page, it's sorted on the balance, for example. So I want to see from the biggest number to the smallest. So I go and here I use the set current key. Not that good in typing today. Balance. Okay, just compile that. And that's it. The now it's sorted, of course, not exactly as we want, but we'll get back to it in a moment. So previously the setCurrent key was also available, but you could actually only sort on the primary keys. Now you can specify any field you want. So in order to sort it as I would like, I need to revert the sorting order, and for that I can use just a method on the record, which is the rec.ascendingFalse. Yes, let's just see. Did I compile? Yeah, so it worked fine actually. It positioned me on the last record, which is not exactly what I wanted, so in the end I also need to call find first. Let's find first. Okay, so that's that's what you get, right? So it's now sorted on the balance. So that this way you can enable sorting on any columns programmatically from your AL code. Okay, let's go back to the next slide. Then we've done some improvement on the page search. The page search is a separate dialog where you can search for any pages in the NAV. The action was actually part of the ribbon, but we move it outside the ribbon. There's this small search button on the top right corner over there. So if I click it now, I can go ahead and search anything I want. Let's say some different sales pages. We have plenty of those. And we have also added different filters inside the search page dialog. So now you can actually see only all the tasks, see only the lists from the search criteria, search only for reports, documents, archive, or administration. And as in the previous release, in order to open, you just click one of them and just opens in dialog. And the search is also available in the dialogs, like that. This is when it's also available on this top right corner of the dialog, so you can just bring it on anytime you need it. So that was that about page search improvement. All the different search categories been added. Some of the edit and view improvements. One of the biggest ask we had for this release was also to enable the date picker for the web client, since it was sometimes pretty challenging to figure out in which format you need to actually type the date. So it's compatible with all what the NAV server is configured with. So now you just need to press the button which brings you the date picker, and yeah, whenever you choose, it's formatted accordingly to the NAV settings. One more improvements we've done is that the second button, I don't know, we notice close to the page search is called the focus on content. What this will do is that it will actually remove all the navigation, it will remove the ribbon, it will remove the fact boxes, so we can only focus on the data. So let me, for example, go to the customer and press this focus on content button. Oops. So this is what we'll do, right? So if you just want to focus on your list, you just can press this focus on content anytime, not only on the list, but also on the cart in the dialogs, and just removes all the navigation, all the fact boxes. By the way, you can also actually, the same as in SharePoint, just double click the ribbon to hide it if you don't really need it. Good. The lookup improvements, that's what we covered. And then the notes and record links. This is another feature that was missing in the previous version of the web client, however was available for Windows clients. What notes and record links are is the way of adding the specialized notes or hyperlinks to different entities in your application. So that's what we enabled in the web client. So let's say I have a customer and I just press the notes button in the ribbon. Actually, I already created some notes, and here you can add your own notes. Yes, in the text format. So let me just add this second note here. The same with the links. There's a special button in the ribbon, and you can type a hyperlink address. Of course. Let's have a hyperlink to the Microsoft.com, which is displayed like an anchor element, so you can actually click it and this will direct you to the site. So this is one way of viewing the notes and links through the ribbon actions, but they are also displayed in the fact boxes if you specify so in the designer. So for example, this charts of accounts balance sheet has one defined inside of the designer, and that's what you will get in the fact boxes, the notes one, where you can also modify the notes and add the new notes and delete the notes. Yeah.
This kind of notes, can they be published to the homepage as the ordinary notes in the Windows client?
Yes. So the question was whether the notes can be populated to the homepage. In the Windows client, I think what you refer to is this notification, my notification area, where you could specify. Now, unfortunately, in this release, it is not supported the my notification note. But you cannot really notify anyone about the note so far. Okay, let's jump to the last slide. Actually, I have on the new features is the help integration. So previously in the first version of our web client, the only way you could launch and show the help was through the MSDN. So we had the help actions, but they were directing you to MSDN, and that was a problem for the partners, because they couldn't really customize the help topics for their own pages, for example. So what we've done in this release is that we created completely new help server, which you install during the installer of the web client, you have the options to install the web server, which is just the web page on the IIS hosting all the HTML content for the help. And there are various types of help. You can have the pay. You can have the help for the page. You can have the help on the different table fields, and there's much more. So, for example, if I want to help on the role center, there is this question mark on the top right corner. Just click it, and then it gives me the HTML content for the small business role center, for example. There is the same type of help available on the fields. So if I just click, let's say, total sales, it brings me the help for total sales table field. The same is for the columns. Let's say, like, to find out what the name really is, I can drill down to the help for the name, and then opens the name field HTML page. But it's not only that, the help server is fully extensible in the case that, for example, you added a new page, and for that new page you would like to add a new help topic. What we've done is that the HTML, this help server, has a very specific structure. So let me just show you how this works. So in the IIS, I have a special website called NAVR2Help. And then they just explored it one. And inside of the help, I have two folders. I have folders specific to the language, as I can add also topics for different language. I have the local folder, which is all the contents which is not language specific, like the images, for example. That's actually what I have here. And inside of the language, I have all the HTML files for the help. So we have created some special notation here. So for example, the file starting with N and the number means that this is the help for the page 9116, for example. So if you were adding your own page, let's say number 10,000, then you will need to add the N10,000 HTML file here. And that's it. The platform will do the rest. Just clicking will direct you to N10,000. The same for the table fields. The table fields has actually the prefix T, if I'm not mistaken, and that's what it means, is that is a table number 3 with a field 1, and that's what we have also documented actually inside the help to make sure you can reuse it. All the different notations you can use to add your help, not only to the fields and pages, but also to the other elements. You can also go and extend the table of contents, anything you want. The search will be available for you to search also within your HTML files. So with that, I covered most of the changes we have done for the web client, the functional one, and now I will pass it to Thomas, who will tell a little bit more about how we can extend the web client using the add-in features.
One question. How do you handle large amount of records in a list?
The question was how do we handle...
Do you want the screen?
It's actually fine. Oh, maybe I can just press here.
Okay.
The question was, how do we handle large amount of records, like the customer that 20,000? So natively, we have a support in the platform for paging. So we actually never load all the data from the server. And also in the web client specifically, we have the paging. So we display, I think, 20 rows by default, and then when the user press next, that's what we load as the next part of the data. So they never load it in one big pack.
Can I use the old filters syntax in this client?
The question was whether it's possible to use the old filter syntax. Thomas, do you know exactly how?
No, I don't actually remember.
Yeah, we can take it offline just to make sure we have the correct answer for you.
The old Excel,
yeah?
Can it all both locally and in 365?
I think it can. Yeah, normally if I think I don't have anything configured, it will just open the Excel SX file locally. But this is export to Excel. It should be covered into tomorrow's session with SharePoint. So I highly advise you to enter. They will definitely know exactly. Yes? The question was about show codes. Is what?
Shortcut
dimension. Thomas.
Not really sure how that works, but we can look at it after the session.
Yeah, we can take it after the session. Just.
What about the navigate function?
Oh, is it the page? This navigate page type or?
That should work.
Ordinary navigate function.
Yeah. That should be enabled now. Yes.
Yeah, there are also many smaller improvements. Of course, it will be just take so long to include in the presentation, but that's something will be available on MSDN. All the differences between the Windows client and the web client very soon. Okay, now Thomas, I switch to you back.
Yes. Yes. So thank you, Lucas, for the great presentation about the new features in the web client. And so next on the agenda is the client extensibility framework for the web client. So what is the extensibility framework? That's a framework for creating what we call control add-ins. And what is a control add-in? That's a control that you create yourself that you can add to your NRV page. So if there are anything you want to display on the page that is not part of the standard product, that could, for instance, be like here, like a map control displaying where your customer lives. It could be a chart. As Lucas mentioned, the chart we have built into the web client as standard is actually implemented via the extensibility framework for the web client. But some of you might already know that we have had an extensibility framework for quite some time for the Windows client, and that was introduced some years ago. This framework is based on .NET and Windows Forms, as the Windows client is based on .NET and Windows Forms. But when we introduced the web client last year, we did not have the possibility to add support for extensibility at that point, because of course it was not possible to run WinForms controls directly out of the box in a web browser over the internet. So we needed something new to support extensibility. But that's what we have now. What I'm going to show you. So we created a new extensibility framework, of course inspired by the old one from the Windows client, but now instead of .NET and WinForms, it's based on HTML and JavaScript. And that of course makes it easy for us to run it in a browser over the internet. But another benefit of this is that we actually also implemented support for the new extensibility framework in the Windows client. So what this means for you is that you now only need to create one extensibility control, and it will run both in the Windows client and in the web client. But of course, if you have some legacy control add-ins that you created for the Windows client using the old extensibility framework, we will not de-support this. That will continue to run. So the Windows client will actually support both the new and the old extensibility framework. But going forward, we highly recommend using the new extensibility framework because it works in both clients out of the box. Yeah. So as I said, it's written in HTML and JavaScript. So of course, there's a new language to learn if you're used to just writing C# code or just writing AL code. But what is actually a controller then for this? And what do you have to create a controller then? First of all, you need what we call a manifest. A manifest is an XML document that defines the controller then to the NRV system. And in a bit, I'll show you how that one looks. And then, of course, you need some scripting code, so your controller then can do something clever. Optionally, you can add some images and some style sheets if you want a special look or something special. And then you take all these components and wrap them together in a package. Actually, you just package them as a zip file. and then take this zip file and put it into the NIV database. And then the system will at runtime deploy the controller lint automatically for you. So as you probably know from the Windows client, when you created controller lint, it did not support this. It did not deploy the controller lint for you automatically. So you had to run around on all your client installations, put in the controller lint on all the client computers to make it work. And when you got an upgrade to your controller lint, you had to go to the same computers again and upgrade the controller lint. That could be quite cumbersome if you had many installations. But now the new system introduces a way to just upgrade it in the database and then it will deploy it. So how does that actually work? So if we imagine we have the web browser on one side connected through the internet to your web server, which of course is then connected to the NIV server and the database, you put your controller in, that's the zip package, into your database. And then whenever the web browser hits a page that requires this controller in to be displayed, the NIV server will go to the database and read this zip file and into the server, and then it will unpackage the zip file and deploy the different components on the web server. So if you have images or style sheet or scripts, it will deploy them to the web server because there's no need for to transfer them to the web browser right away. So if you have many images and you only use some of them, they will all be deployed to the web server, but the web browser will only download the ones it actually needs. And after it has deployed everything to the web server, then it will add an iframe, HTML iframe, to the web browser to host the controller in. So each controller in you put on your page will get its own iframe where it can render itself into. Yes. But most controller ins don't just want to render themselves statically into something in the web browser. Of course, they can choose to do that, but to create some interesting control add-ins, you normally need some integration to the NIV application. So it would be nice to do some callbacks from your web browser back into the application code. So this is, of course, also supported by the callback mechanism. So from your script code running in the web browser, you can issue a call to your nav application. And how that works is that first it calls the web server because the web browser is not directly connected to the NIV server, it's only connected to the web server. So it issues a callback to the web server saying, I want to call this function in your NIV code. And then the web server forwards the call to the NIV server telling it which function to actually call. This would be a good thing if you, let's imagine you had a controller in with a button and the user clicked the button and you want to execute some AL code on that. Then you would do the callback from your browser into your NIV application. You can also go the other way, so you can call from your AL code, you can call into the browser to the controller then running in the browser. And then of course the NIV server where that's executing your AL code will issue a call to the web server that will then forward the call over the internet into the web browser and calling the JavaScript function that you specified in your AL code you want to call, passing in the parameters that you had specified. This is interesting if you want to transfer data from NIV into your controller then, because that doesn't happen automatically. You need to do that manually. Yes. So next is the different elements you need to create a controller then. As I said, first you need the manifest, this XML document that we see in a short bit, some code, images and style sheets. Of course, they're optional. But the last part, a .NET assembly defining the interface for your controller then is also needed. This .NET assembly will define the interface we used for our green arrows and the orange arrows, so the system knows which methods should be exposed to the controller then and which methods will be called from the controller then running in the web browser. So if you're familiar with the extensibility framework for the Windows controls, this is quite similar because we chose to reuse how you define this interface, because this makes it very easy if you have an existing controller then running for the Windows client and you want to upgrade that to run on the new extensibility framework. You can just reuse this interface definition that you already created. That's actually what we did for the charting control. In the previous release of NRV, we had a WinForms-based chart that only worked in the Windows client. It had its own interface defined in an assembly, and the application code used this interface to call into the WinForms-based chart control. When we did the new chart control for web, which is a server, a web browser-based one, of course, we did not change this interface. We just created a new control add-in using the new extensibility framework, but implemented the same interface as we had for the old one. That meant we did not have to change any application code at all. We just plugged in the new web chart control, and then it just worked, because the system will figure out that it has this zip package in the database, and then decide to use the new extensibility framework automatically. So next up is I want to show you how to actually create one of these components. So we want to create a simple controller then that just first displays some text, deploy it to our database, create a site that or a page that uses this controller then and see how easy it actually is. So let's do that. So the first part of creating this would be to create a new project in Visual Studio for creating our interface assembly. So that's quite easy. We just click new project, create a class library, let's call it my control. So that's the first part. Then we need a reference for our extensibility assembly that is shipped with NRV. Add a reference. And this assembly is called Microsoft Dynamics Framework UI Extensibility DLL. That's the same name as it was in the previous release. So that's the same DLL that is shared with the Windows client. But let's put a check mark here and click OK. And then let's get away the auto-generated class. We don't need that because actually we just need an interface. So let's add a new item and create an interface. Call it my control. And then so you don't have to see me typing all this, I pre-cooked an interface that we'll just copy in. But so it's basically an empty interface, so this controller then doesn't do anything, it just has an empty interface, but we'll extend that in a bit. The only interesting part here is actually the attribute on the interface, the control add-in export attribute, defining the name of the control add-in. So here it's called my control. That would be the name we need to use when we register the control add-in inside NRV. This is the same syntax as for the Windows-based extensibility control. So that's a part you can reuse if you had an existing control add-in. The next part would be that to be able to register this control add-in in NRV, we need to sign the project so it gets a public key token. So we go into signing and create a new file for that. The name doesn't really matter here, it just needs to be signed. And save it. And let's try to build. And it succeeded. So now we have an interface assembly that we can put into the NRV system. But to do that, as I said, we need the public key token. So there's a, if we copy the path of the generated assembly, and we have a command prompt, then there's a utility in .NET, a strong name utility called SN. If you put in -t and then the path of our assembly, then it will spit out the public key token here, and that's the one we need to register. This is a little bit cumbersome, but you only need to do this once. when you register the add-in. And if you're going to sell add-ins, that would be part of the documentation for the customer. So let's open up the client again. And if we go into page search, we can type control, and then we'll find a page for registering the control engine. This is also a new page we added in this release. So there's a standard page for registering the control add-ins. We didn't have that previously. So here we just click new and put in the name my control. That was the string from the attribute on the interface we saw previously, and paste in the public key token. So that's good. So now it's registered in the system. So the next part is actually putting something in this control add-in, some JavaScript code that makes this fun. But the first part we need to create, that's this manifest, the XML file that defines to the NAV system what this control add-in is all about and how we need to treat it. So let's create a folder for that. Actually, you don't need to create this as part of the Visual Studio project. This could be created in Notepad because it's not compiled into the interface assembly. It's just easier for me, so I don't need to switch between tools. I'll just create it here in Visual Studio. But actually, these files are being shipped in the end, it's not really needed. Of course, you can also be so advanced that you added a task to your Visual Studio project so it will create the zip file for you. That would be an easy thing to do, but I'm not going to do that now. But we have a new folder, then we need to add an XML file. That's not it. This one. Call it manifest. Just take the default away, and then let me grab the one I prepared for you. So this is a very, very basic manifest. So on top, we have a script URL. That's a section where you can define external JavaScripts that your control add-in depends on. These will then be loaded as part of your control add-in in the web browser at runtime. So in this case, I added a reference to jQuery, because we would like to use this. And then the next part is the script section. There's a part in this cData section. This code is actually a script code that will be loaded onto the web browser at runtime and executed when the control add-in is ready. So in this case, it just hooks up to the ready event in the browser, and then it finds a element in, as you probably remember, we create one iframe for each control add-in, and inside that iframe we put one div element and we name it control add-in. That's the only thing you get as a control add-in developer. You get this control add-in element, and then you can put your own elements or you can choose to replace it, but we recommend that you put in your own elements as Charles of this div element. So this name we will not change. You can always search for control add-in. So in this case we find our root element and then we add a string hello world to that. Pretty basic. So let's save all this. And then we need to go to a explorer and we need to zip this into a zip file. So the easiest thing is actually just to right click it and choose send to and compressed folder. Then the system will create a zip file for you. And that's the one we need to import into the NAV database. So if we go here back again and choose the import button, there's an import, export and remove, but we'll just use the import. And then we need to pick our zip file. And now it's imported. So now we have the interface assembly in place. We have the manifest zipped into a zip file, and we imported that into the database. So what we need now is to create a page in NAV that uses this control add-in. So that's the next part. And just to make it easy, we'll just take the customer card and extend, so we don't need to create something brand new. Let's just add a new group here. Let's call it my control add-in. add a new field, call the field add-in, and then open the property sheet for the field, and then find the property called control add-in. And here we need to select our control add-in, that's the my control. So the system now knows that for this control on the page, we want to not display the standard field, we want to display our control add-in instead. So let's save our page and let's open a new one and then try to go to a customer. And hopefully we should see something. So we can see our group, the my control add-in, that's a group we added. And we can see the hello world, that's the thing we put into the manifest. So when the control add-in is ready to run on the page, it calls the three lines of code we put into the manifest where it spits out the hello world. Pretty basic. But now we get everything, and we didn't need to deploy anything, that's happened all automatically for us. But we wanted to be a little more interesting, so let's try to do some callbacks back into AL code from here, and maybe do a call to the JavaScript. Remember the green arrows we had and the orange arrows we had on the slide. So to do that, we need to go back to our interface and tell the system what the name of our function should be that we want to expose in our script code. So we add in two elements. The first is an event called control add-in. So events get turned into triggers in AL code when the AL compiler, the nav compiler, reads the interface assembly. So eventually we will get a trigger in AL called control add-in ready. And that's the one we need to, if we issue that from our script code in the web browser, it will call all the way over to the web server and into the nav server, and then we could do stuff in that. For instance, we could call our hello function. So the first one is an event that gets into turned into triggers that you can call from the script code into the AL code. The other one is a normal method declaration that gets turned into methods that you need to, or functions that you need to declare in your script code. So these can be called from the AL code, and it will do the call to the browser. And in the browser, it will find the method called hello, taking one parameter called name, as part of your control add-in. So that's the way you can transfer data from AL over to your to a web browser. And of course, we need to implement all of these. This is just the declaration of it. So to implement it, we need to add a script file where we can implement our hello function in. So let's add a new folder. We call it script. And we put in a JavaScript file. And inside the script file, we'll just put a prepared hello function. So this is scripting code. The function is called hello, and take one parameter as we saw in the interface declaration. Again, it fetches out the control add-in element that we put into the iframe and appends a text, in this case hello, plus the name that you supply it with from your AL code. And the first line is just to, so we can call this function more than once. It clears out whatever it had before. So we can call this function multiple times. This is a very basic one. So the next part is to update our XML file, our manifest, to tell it that we now have a file called javascript1.js that we want to make part of this control add-in. So it needs to be, it's not enough just to zip the file together with the manifest, we also need to declare it in this JavaScript, in this XML manifest. So the way to do that is to add a section called resources, and inside that add a script, and then write the name. This needs to be the exact name of the script file we added. So script javascript1.js is the same as this one. So what this actually means, that is that when the server unpacks the zip file at runtime, it searches for this JavaScript 1.js file inside the zip packets and deploys it to the web server. So the file will be ready on the web server whenever the web browser issues a call back to this file and downloads it into the browser. And the last part, that's the init code of our controller. Then now we don't want to write hello world anymore. Now we actually want to do the call back to the AL code. So the trick to do that is still hooking up to the ready event. But there's also a function that's part of the extensibility framework called invoke extensibility method. That's something that we supply for this. But the argument that you can pass in here, that would be the name of the trigger that you want to call in AL. And that should be, of course, be the same name as the one we declared here on the interface. So let's copy that and put it in here. Oh, I think I got too much. Let's try again. Say copy and then paste. Yes, much better. So whenever our controller is now ready in the browser, it will do nothing except it will do a call back into your NRV application and call the trigger called controller in. So let's try save everything. Let's see if the product builds. It does. That's good. And then of course we need to create a new zip file that we can put into the database. Let's delete the old one, highlight this, and choose send to again. Now we have a new one. We can go to the control add-in page and choose import. So we get, now it asks whether I want to override the existing one. Of course I want to do that. But so we click yes, and then choose the zip file. So now we updated our database with the new add-in. So now we just need to update our application page to utilize this. That was a question?
Yeah, if you're running multi-tenant environment,
yes.
Is this zip file loaded to the application tables or the tenant?
So the question is, if I'm running in a multi-tenant environment, is this zip file part of the per tenant database or the system? It's part of the system tables, so all your tenants will be able to utilize the same add-in, and you don't only need to update it for once. You don't need to go to each tenant to update all the databases. Yes. So the next part is, that's one of the a bit tricky one, is the our add-in that we just, the interface assembly we created, that needs to be copied into the folder, the add-ins folder of the NRV development environment. So let's do that. And that is located under program files, NRV, and then it's actually called Roteller client. That's because the Roteller client and the NRV development environment are installed in the same folder. And there's an add-in here. So let's copy the interface assembly. So now the AL compiler has access to the interface that we had defined. So the next part to make the development environment know that we have added a new interface, updated interface, actually we need then to remove the add-in and then add it again. This is a little bit cumbersome, but if I do it like this and then add it again, I should be able to go into the code editor, and in the bottom you will see I now have for the field called add-in, I'll have a trigger called control add-in ready. That's the one we defined in our interface. So now we can do a call from our script code back into the AL code. And the ambition here was then we want to call our hello function in the JavaScript code again. So if I go into the simple menu and choose current page, controls, find my add-in, and look at methods, we can actually see that the system knows that there's a hello function that it can call. So let's say we want to call that hello, and let's put in the name of the customer. Yes. So there's one more thing to do when we do this, because this trigger will be called when the add-in is ready, but maybe we want our add-in updated each time we change the current customer. So we need to add it to another trigger as well. So we need to find the on after get current record and put in the same line of code here. And let's save it and see how far we got. Close this one. And we can see that we now have the name of the customer displayed instead of hello world. And when I click the next button or the previous one, it's also updated. So what happens is that the add-in, whenever it's initialized on the page, it does the callback to the NAV system that then calls the hello function in the JavaScript code. And you can see there's no lag at all. It's almost instant. So there's, even though it's a callback, I know everything is running on the same box here, but it is fast. So let's try to do this add-in a little more advanced. Let's add an image to this, so we can both have an image and a name for the customer. So we go back into Visual Studio, create a new folder that we will call image, add an image to that. And this has to be a PNG image. Currently we only support the PNG files, but that's all to find that works in all browsers. And then we need to, in our manifest, tell it that we now not just have a JavaScript run.js file, we also have an image we would like to have deployed on our web server so we can access it from the web browser. So that goes into the resources section and looks like this. Simply image and then the name of the image. Then it gets deployed on the web server at runtime. And that's it. Maybe we want to exchange the image, because this one that we got for free, it's quite blank, so it's not that interesting. Instead, let's copy one that I prepared with the same name, namely the logo of this conference. So we should see that in our page. So we should now be able to deploy this image to our web server, but of course we also need to display it somehow in our controller then. And for that, we need to update our hello function, or we could also create a new function, but let's, to make it simple, we'll just update our hello function to display this image. I'll just add the code for that, and you can see, compare. So we still had the append hello thing, but it now also has an append where it appends an image. This is just a HTML tag for that. And we can get rid of the old one. The only tricky part here is that, of course, it needs to tell the system or the web browser which image to fetch, or and it needs to give the URL for that. So there's another message in the system that you can access from your script code called get image resource, where you pass in the name of the resource you want. Then this function will calculate or compute the full path of the image on the web server. So you don't need to know what your web server is called or anything like that. You simply call this function, and then you will get the URL of the image. So after this, we should have an image and our hello name displayed. So let's try to ship this together. Let's get rid of the old zip file and send it to a folder again. And we'll import this. Override, pick the zip file, and that's it. And let's try to reopen my customer card. So now you see we actually have an image displayed. Maybe it's not entirely what you wanted. Maybe you wanted to display the entire image and the text. It's a little bit, it's been cut off here. And the reason for that is that a controller then by default is 100 by 100 pixels. And in this case, that's not really what we want. So of course we can also tweak that. So we can go into our manifest and insert a few tags to tell it for this. So there's a request height and a request width. So in this case, we set it to 200 pixels high, 500 pixels wide, and that should do it. So if we save this and create the final package, finally import it. And let's close this one and open a new one. And finally we have it. And you can see it's very easy whenever I update my add-in. I don't need to restart anything. I can just reopen a page and instantly the system detects that there's a new add-in in the database and it deploys it to the web server and it's been picked up. So now we have a control add-in that can display an image and a text. So in the same way as I added an image, you can also add style sheets. I'm not going to display it to show you how to do that. But it's the same thing. In the resources tag, you simply add a style sheet section and put in the style sheet in the zip file. And then you can have a style sheet deployed as well on your web server. And then from your script code, you can reference classes in this style sheet if you want a special look. That's quite easy soon. But what's next is actually the fun part about this, because now we added an add-in that works in the web browser. So what happens if we now open the Windows client and open a customer card? And you can see we have the same add-in running in here. With no additional code, it just works out of the box. So you only need to create one add-in in one language now, and it runs in both clients we have. So that's a really, really big benefit of the new extensibility framework. And on top of that, you get the deployment for free. So even though you only target Windows clients, you can still choose to use the new extensibility framework because there's zero deployment in this framework. It's much easier in that sense compared to the old one.
Can you control the rights of the add-ins? So you have different rights?
Can I control the rights?
Yeah.
Meaning you mean the security? Well, how much it's able to access in the when running in the browser? No, you cannot control that yourself. What we do is when we host the iframe that we put into the system is sandboxed. So it's not able to access all kinds of evil thing. So whenever you tell the web browser that your iframe is sandboxed, it puts a lot of restrictions on you. But doing these kinds of things is not a problem when it's sandboxed. But if you start to include evil scripts out there, then it will probably not work. And that's the intention, that it shouldn't work. Because, yeah, of course we don't want that. That actually concludes the part of the demo. So what did we just learn? We learned that the controller then gets its own iframe that is sandboxed. It gets one element for free called controller then that it can put itself as a child under. You get the invoke extensibility method where you pass in the name of the function you want to call in AL code. And then in your code on the nav server, you can call the current page add-in dot the name you have specified in your interface, passing all kinds of parameters. You don't need to use special simple types, in this case we just use a text string. You can use integers, but you can also choose to use .NET types. So what happens if you put in a .NET type is that we will serialize this .NET type into JSON, send it to the web browser, and then deserialize it in the web browser. So you will have the same fields and the same class structure as you had in the original .NET type. This is quite advanced, and that's what we're using for the chart. But that works quite well. And as the last part was the get image resource, that you need to use for referencing your images that is stored on the web server. Yes, and that actually concludes our presentation for the web client. And we have like a few minutes for questions that we can open up for before we need to close down for the movies that will be here shortly, that you probably also want to attend. And of course, feel free to ask questions also on the material that Lucas presented, if there's anything interesting. And just before everybody starts leaving anyway, I just want to highlight the evaluation thing that we would really, really appreciate if you would spend a little time providing feedback on this session. That can be done, as you already know, sending a text message to 1919. Or I believe there have been some issues with it, so there's also a website that you can use. You should all have gotten an email with links to the individual sessions where you can also choose to do the evaluation. So please take a moment to do that so we can use the feedback to improve for next year. And then it's question time. Yes?
Is it possible to change company, workday, and language in the web client?
So the question is it possible to change language, company, and workday in the web client? And the answer is no, not currently. That's a feature request that we're not able to put that into this release. So there's a good chance that you see it sometime. But actually, the work date, you can do that yourself, because that can be changed from application code. But yeah, as we know it from the Windows client, there's in the system menu, there's a change work date and change language and everything. That's currently not supported in the web client. The language can, of course, be changed on the web client, but that's done on the web server, so it will affect all your clients using the same site. So it's not per user, it's per site that you can configure the language.
So if you need to have more languages, you need to have a couple sites, basically. As before.
We have improved that, yes. Sorry, I need to repeat the question. So the question is, have the error messages in the web client been improved in this release? Whereas in the Windows client, you get a proper error message when you type in something invalid. You should also get that in the web client now.
Yes, we definitely did some improvements. Yes, you get the errors for the particular fields. You also get the error in the top part of your page with the details. And with what you can do, like revert the changes or all the actions for the user.
And what about budget ledger entries? Can those be accessed on the web client now?
Budget ledger entries, can they be accessed on the web client? I have to be honest, I'm not that strong in the application, so I don't know.
Well, but we can go and try.
We can try it out. But actually, I would imagine that it would work.
Yeah, I don't know.
No.
Was it a page that didn't work in the previous version?
You could only see the accumulated result page, but you couldn't see the detailed
budget ledger
entries.
Okay, yeah.
So we need to verify that.
Yeah, I don't know.
We don't know.
No. But feel free to come down afterwards, and then you can try it on our boxes if you want.
Yeah.
Anything else? No, doesn't seem so. Then we would like to thank you. Thank you for showing up to this. Hope you had got some new knowledge that you can use when you get home and get it inspired, hopefully, by the demo that we have done.
Thank you.
Thank you.